It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Donald Trump won the election by a landslide. He carried every battleground state. So why is his agenda stopped at every turn? Well, some of it's the GOP circling firing squad in Congress, but most of it's judicial activism. Now, I've already spent a good deal of time on this show reviewing the history of judicial activism, how the Constitution does not give the courts power to overturn decisions from the executive branch, how the Supreme Court is not the only enforcer of the Constitution. I won't belabor the point today. Instead, I will point out the obvious, what people see but accept, what people loathe but sit helpless before, as if there is nothing we can do about it. I am referring, of course, to the Democrats having lost the White House and the Senate and the House of Representatives, turning instead to the courts. They love giving sanctimonious lectures about how the courts are the true constitutional lens. Unless, of course, the courts overturned Roe v. Wade. Then we hear how rogue they are, how they are usurping authority. And you'll hear senators like Chuck Schumer scream from the steps of Washington that the court will rue the day. But that's when the court rules against Democrats. When they rule with the Democrats, they're the best thing since Al Gore's private jet carrying him to his next lecture about the dangers of carbon emissions. They're the best thing since Snow Woke and the Seven Dorks. Meanwhile, Trump remains quite popular. Those who put him into office did not elect any judge to be president of the United States. They elected Donald Trump to be president of the United States. And so, worried about the next midterm election and knowing how unpopular they are with the people, Democrats and other leftists have figured out that it's not enough to go to the courts. They must also lie about why they are going to the courts and hope the talking points stick. Don't think for one minute that they're stupid enough to believe the drivel that comes out of their own mouths. Well, yeah, there are a few. There are a few in Congress with brains smaller than cashew nuts. But for the most part, Democrat politicians are exhibiting a skilled tactic. You see, to be an effective liar, you need to be familiar with the truth. Otherwise, you can't anchor your lie in exactly the correct direction. You phrase things in such a way as to make people feel rather than think. Like calling the deportation of an MS-13 gang member the deportation of a Maryland father. Well, many people are fathers. You've heard of deadbeat dads. You've heard of deadbeat husbands. You've heard of abusive husbands. Just ignore the fact that this guy was accused of wife beating and human trafficking. Doesn't matter. The new buzz phrase from our Democrat politicians, due process. Whoever we are, wherever we're from, we are entitled to due process. Oh, yeah. These guys just love due process. Like the due process shown Brett Kavanaugh during an accusation. Remember the senator from Hawaii, Mazie Hirono, when this man was accused of sexual harassment? When a woman accuses a man of abuse, she not only has a right to be heard, she has a right to be believed. So a man is not innocent until proven guilty. He's guilty just by nature of the fact that he's accused by a woman. This from a United States senator. If only Kavanaugh had claimed to be a woman, a man who identified as being a woman, the Democrats would have been caught speechless. They would have been caught with their mouths wide open. If he claimed to be a woman, they would have to automatically accept his claim and accept that the accusation must be false because he's claiming it's false, and women never lie. due process. What kind of due process took place when the Biden administration opened wide our borders and allowed millions upon millions to enter the country illegally without vetting them? How much concern for due process did the Democrats show then? And what about sanctuary cities and sanctuary states? A judge in California just ruled that the Trump administration cannot withhold federal funds because it's unconstitutional. That is a downright lie. What's unconstitutional is that we have sanctuary cities at all. The Constitution doesn't provide for cities that defy federal law. Now, it's true the executive branch does not have a right to make the law, but they do have a right to enforce the law. And even if we want to get beyond the Constitution itself and get into the nitty-gritty, Congress has passed a law which says funds can be withheld when cities aren't obeying federal law. But of course, judges always find some fine point that needs to be redefined. Okay, let's just say, for argument's sake, that we need to go back and make a better law under Congress. Sounds great. One problem. The Democrats in Congress will not go along with this unless the Republicans get rid of that stupid, idiotic filibuster, which says they need 60 votes to move forward for a vote on the floor, regardless of who holds the majority. Republicans won't end the filibuster. They like to be gentlemen. Well, how would we like it if the Democrats ended it? When they were in power, they planned to do that. Chuck Schumer already promised that had they won this last time, the filibuster would have been gone. But Republicans won't end it. It's back to that circling firing squad, which they formed so easily. In any event, even if they ended the filibuster, it still wouldn't matter. Whatever they decide, whatever they pass, a judge can overturn it. If they can overturn the president, they can overturn the Congress. We already talked about DOMA on this show, the Supreme Court overturning a law passed by both houses and signed by the president. So much for the rule of law, so much for due process. By the way, speaking of the filibuster, the House of Representatives just passed a bill banning infanticide, not abortion, infanticide. It's called the Born Alive Abortion Bill. The law would force doctors to save the lives of babies who survive botched late-term abortions. What about the Senate? Well, the bill never made it to the floor. Why not? The filibuster, silly. Thank you for playing. A law that is not in the Constitution. The Constitution does give Congress the right to make its own procedural rules. And this was a lame procedural rule that's become a dangerous procedural rule. My friends, it's no longer about who stays in power. It's no longer about passing a law which says how much money to give the Postal Service. It's about human lives. The Democrats who voted against it love to call Trump Hitler, but maybe it's time to look at real, honest-to-goodness Nazis. Their first murders were euthanasia, including the euthanasia of infants. But then nothing smacks of Nazism like anti-Semitism. Trump, whose own daughter married a Jewish man, Trump, the most pro-Israel president we've ever had, is called a Nazi. Trump, who told Harvard University that they need to do a better job of stopping anti-Semitism on their campus or they will no longer qualify for federal grants of $2.2 billion. And why the government needs to give any campus $2.2 billion, I'm sure I don't know. Harvard is suing because they want that money. And they claim they're suing to protect academic freedom, including freedom of speech. Another lie. A lie that they have standing, a lie that they believe in freedom of speech. Harvard is a private college. Government grants are a gift, not an obligation. Now, if the government passed a law telling them what to teach, it would be different. But they can teach whatever they want. They just can't take our money and then act like we don't have a vested interest in what they're teaching and what they're doing with that money. By the way, there are all kinds of speech codes that have been enacted at Harvard. When the former president of Harvard was brought before Congress and asked if the same rule that would punish hate speech against gays or hate speech against people of color also protects Jews, she responded by saying, "It's complicated." Oh yeah, and let's not forget that Harvard fired a doctor who questioned lockdowns during COVID. Free speech. Academic freedom. Right. The same is going on with the Palestinian agitator from Colombia that Trump wants to deport. The lie? Trump is kicking him out because he wants to deny his free speech. My friends, it isn't freedom of speech when Jews are physically blocked from going to class. And free speech protects American citizens, not people here on a visa from another country who use their time in the United States to call for the death of Israel and the death of all Western civilization, including the United States. Just how stupid have we become as a nation? But the Democrats keep lying anyway. Deportation is punishment without due process. Deportation isn't a punishment, it's a status. Due process for immigrants is not a full trial. That kind of process is guaranteed of citizens. When we're talking about an illegal immigrant being deported, the only due process they're allowed, and they're allowed a little, is to prove that they actually are here legally. Once it's established that they're here illegally, they've had their due process. But leave it up to our courts, leave it up to our judges, and every single person that they want to deport will be entitled to a 2-year trial. In other words, they'll never be deported. We'll never fix the problem. And that has been the intention of the Democrats all along. By the way, these same Democrats who want to keep people from being deported are voting against laws that call for proving citizenship before voting. And guess what? A judge just overturned that executive order from Donald Trump. A judge just ruled that it's unconstitutional for the president to insist that people be citizens before they vote. It's a violation of our Constitution if they're not citizens before they vote. But it doesn't matter. The Democrats keep making this up, lie after lie, packaged as truth after truth. It really doesn't matter who lies. It really doesn't matter who tells the truth or who is elected or who isn't elected or what the majority wants or what the majority doesn't want. What matters is judicial review. I mentioned before, Congress established judicial review in the lower courts. They could change that law. Oh, yeah, the filibuster. And even so, if they get rid of the filibuster, if they end judicial review, pass a law that changes judicial review, the law will be overturned by judicial review. Does it sound like I'm harping on this week after week? I hope so. We need somebody to keep crying out that the emperor isn't wearing any clothes, even if he says he identifies as a man who's fully dressed. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Hey,
Welcome back to 1170 AM 96.1 FM. The Answer. Always good to be joined by my friend, Jim Barrier.
Hey, Bob. Now, I know you are an advocate for free speech, and I know you've often said you welcome opinions even if they don't agree with you. And so I've got to say about your opening segment, I agree 100%.
I was worried there for a minute, Jim.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. No, we think a lot alike on some of these things, so well done. Now, we're coming off of the Easter week, Holy Week. It's one of my favorite times of the year, and certainly celebrating the resurrection of Christ is, I think, the highest holy day, more so than Christmas, believe it or not, because, as I often say, without Easter, Christmas is just like any other birth of a holy man or teacher.
But, well, yeah, I enjoy Christmas time much more, but as far as which is the more important event, obviously the resurrection's what it's all about.
I feel that way. And we were talking, I'm in a small group, we meet in a home once a week, and before Easter, someone said, well, what's a good movie to watch? People always watch The Greatest Story Ever Told, or what's a good film about Jesus? And someone said, well, Mel Gibson's The Passion. And I said, yeah, it's a little tough, though. It's not a real feel-good movie.
It's not a bring the popcorn and Junior Mints movie.
No. And I said, but my favorite film has always been Ben-Hur, the 1959.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just love Ben-Hur. And I like how it was about the people who surrounded Christ. Christ himself was in very little of the movie.
Yeah, he wasn't in it very often. Though, when you watch the unedited original version, there's about 10 minutes of introduction, and then the credits start to roll, and it says, Ben-Hur, A Tale of the Christ.
Yeah, it said, well, the original novel was written to say that, but it was really the tale of a fictitious prince named Judah Ben-Hur.
Yeah. So what I did on Easter Sunday, after we went to church, Leslie and I sat down, and I have the box set, the entire unedited, uncut version. It takes about 4 hours. There's even an intermission, just like at the theater. And I watched that movie, and I forgot how much I love that film.
It's wonderful. And you know, when they opened the AMC 20 theaters in San Diego, they made it a Charlton Heston Film Festival. He was alive at the time. He had just written his biography. And they staggered the movies so that he came out and talked to the audience of each movie. And it had the Ten Commandments, and it had Planet of the Apes, and The Agony and the Ecstasy. And of course, I went to Ben-Hur. And it was just such a thrill. And I got to meet him and tell him that I appreciated the...
I'd like to have been there.
I appreciated his opinions, his conservative voice in the media.
Well, I was reminded how great that movie is.
One of the best movies ever made.
And I was pleasantly surprised watching it again that it's timeless. It really has aged well. You don't have CGI, special effects, and those kind of things in 1959.
But that makes what they did so much more impressive.
Very impressive. So, folks, if you have never watched the unedited version of Ben-Hur, I encourage you to get it from your local library, because we don't have the box store host, the one that used to check out videos. Anyway, find the film, get the disc, get Blu-ray if you can, and watch it from start to finish. You'll get an
And don't go to that remake that they made a few years ago. I didn't even bother seeing it. I didn't even waste my time with it.
No, and the TV version, they cut out so much, you lose a lot of important content. Anyway, it was a great film, and that's what I did on the afternoon on Easter Sunday, and I don't regret it. Now, the president gave a message going into Holy Week, and I want to read this. I'm going to read the script word for word. This is what President Donald Trump had to say. This Holy Week, Melania and I join in prayer with the Christians celebrating the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, who conquered death, freed us from sin, and unlocked the gates of heaven for all humanity, beginning with Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and culminating in the Paschal Triduum, which is the 3 days, which begins on Holy Thursday with the Mass of the Lord's Supper, followed by Good Friday, reaching its pinnacle in the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday night. This week is a time of reflection for Christians to memorialize Jesus' crucifixion, to prepare their hearts, minds, and souls for his miraculous resurrection from the dead. During this sacred week, we acknowledge that the glory of Easter Sunday cannot come without the sacrifice Jesus Christ made on the cross. In his final hours on earth, Christ willingly endured excruciating pain, torture, and execution on the cross out of a deep and abiding love for all his creation. Through his suffering, we have redemption. Through his death, we are forgiven of our sins. Through his resurrection, we have hope of eternal life. On Easter morning, the stone is rolled away, the tomb is empty, and light prevails over darkness, signaling that death does not have the final word. This Holy Week, my administration renews its promise to defend the Christian faith in our schools, military, workplaces, hospitals, and halls of government. We will never waver in safeguarding the right to religious liberty, upholding the dignity of life, and protecting God in our public square. As we focus on Christ's redeeming sacrifice, we look to his love, humility, and obedience, even in life's most difficult and uncertain moments. This week, we pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our beloved nation. We pray that America will remain a beacon of faith, hope, and freedom for the entire world. And we pray to achieve a future that reflects the truth, beauty, and goodness of Christ's eternal kingdom in heaven. May God bless you and your family during this special time of year, and may he continue to bless the United States of America. That was Donald Trump.
That's pretty incredible. Now, if he actually wrote that himself, it shows more of an understanding of Christianity than we've been led to believe.
Well, no doubt,
we know he believes in God, and even more so since God spared his life. You would have thought that Trump would have said, this week I just want to remind you, Jesus, he was a great guy, and he worked with some wonderful people. That's more what you'd expect from Trump.
No, obviously he had help writing this.
Yes, but you get the impression it is his true sentiments when you hear it.
Well, I think so, too, or he wouldn't have said it. He would have said it back and said,
he wouldn't have put his name on something he didn't agree with.
And when I heard this and read this, this is what came to my mind. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Folks, this is the first time in my life that I have had some hope, some confidence, some evidence that Donald Trump, yes, in fact, has become a believer.
Well, I'm just glad they didn't mix it up with one of Kamala's old speeches, or we would have heard that Jesus grew up in a middle-class family.
Yeah. Well, I was just impressed. I was pleased. So I wanted people to hear that, to know what the president, what he has confessed with his mouth. Yes, he may have had writers, but every president has writers. They all do that.
Yeah, he wouldn't have put his name on something he didn't agree with. Okay, Jim, hold that thought. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show and our special show within a show. It's time for another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
Well, hello, Jim. First off, happy Easter to you.
And to you, sir.
Hey, before we go on, Brendan needs to be congratulated, Jim. He's got his own radio show now.
Oh, my.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Because it's one of your favorite subjects of both of you.
I do love sports. So that's why I started my own sports show with Dave Stahl. And it's a once-a-month program where we talk about all different kinds of sports, hockey, basketball, football, all sorts of stuff. So definitely check it out. I'll have another show late May.
You'll have to have Jim Barrier on as a guest and make some of his annual sports predictions.
I'll absolutely do that.
I would love that, yeah.
Well, Jim, I wanted to go into the year of the 70s, actually. I know you're not totally familiar with it, but I'm going to give it a shot, and I gave you an easy one as well as a way of saying Happy Easter to you. So,
as long as it's not disco.
It is definitely not disco. Good. I will confirm that. All right, are you ready, Jim?
We'll never do this again if it's disco.
I got you. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Oh, you already got it immediately.
Southern rock. Oh, yeah.
All right. Before he says the title, because as usual, a lot of early 70s and late 60s songs like to say the title at the beginning. What song was it?
Okay. This is Ramblin' Man. Lord, I Was Born a Ramblin' Man, featuring the great Richard Betts, Dickie Betts, one of the great guitar players of the 70s. Southern rock stuff. You got your Allman Brothers there. That is great.
All right. Let's hear just a little bit of it. I would have thought that might have been earlier than the 70s.
But. Yeah, but we're talking 1973.
Oh.
So it's aged terrifically, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Very, very good job, Jim. Congratulations.
You got good. Well, that's a great song. And there was some 70s stuff I liked. And that was certainly part of it. The Southern Rock, you had Allman Brothers, Lynyrd Skynyrd. There was some great stuff. And Dickie Betts never gets, in my opinion, enough credit for being one of the great guitar players in rock music. There's that song, and then they did an instrumental called Jessica, which was just, it's a tremendous, tremendous piece. Anyway, good call, good song. Thank you.
Did you ever get to meet Dickie Betts or seen Dickie Betts live perform?
Well, I saw the Allman Brothers, but I never got to meet him.
Okay.
Yeah, tremendous group. They were great live.
Awesome, awesome.
Alrighty. Where do we go from here, Bob?
Well, we went from, is Trump a Christian? And he's starting to sound more like one. I've said before that as long as he protects our rights, whether he's a Christian or not politically, doesn't matter to me. But I really do think that that assassination attempt and the miraculous way that God spared his life, which is apparent to any thinking person with eyes, I really think that had a profound effect on him. And probably people like Franklin Graham and others around him have been a great influence.
He's got some really good people that are in his ear, and I love that. And so, and he's, as you have said, he's the most pro-life president we've had. And Reagan, of course, was very much, but Trump has been very, very aggressively.
Well, he's getting done things that conservatives have just been talking about for years. Trump is actually getting it done.
Yeah. So now I want to shift gears a little bit because it's been quite a week. And as everyone knows by now, Pope Francis, aka the first woke pope, died. Sorry, died April 21st. And I'm not going to apologize, really. Because
no, it's always sad when a public figure dies, but he was not a very good pope. His theology died a long time ago.
I just spent some time talking with a good friend of mine. His wife used to work in the same office Leslie did. We got to know them. He is as Catholic as anybody I know. He is very, very conservative. He's a staunch Catholic, very devout, tremendous person. And I asked him how he felt about this. You know, how did he feel about the Pope's passing? And he said it couldn't come soon enough. And I said, what do you want to see in the next Pope? He said, I don't care what country he's from. I don't care about all of that stuff. What I want is someone who will tell the truth.
Yeah, and I would have rather seen this Pope change than die. By the way, when Trump talked about the Pope, we were talking about how that message about Easter didn't sound like Trump.
Yeah.
When he talked about the Pope, he did sound like Trump. He was saying, I came out to honor the Pope because a lot of Catholics voted for me in the election. Now, that was a very Trumpian thing to say.
Now, I will state, I saw one headline that I was kind of confused on, where they said Trump was in a very controversial outfit for his funeral. He was wearing blue instead of black like everybody else there.
Oh, well, I don't know if he put that much thought into it. I certainly don't think he meant any disrespect.
I completely agree.
Better than the premier from
Ukraine.
The Ukraine guy just came out in his regular black outfit.
It's true.
Yeah. Listen, I saw a picture, and if he did a big wide view, there were people in all different color suits in the crowd. And so this is just another case of manipulating the press, manipulating the information, and it was a deep fake. It was just propaganda, and it was unfounded, uncalled for, and yet people bought it. That's the way our world is right now. So I have several good Catholic friends, and in fact, the woman who was the maid of honor when Leslie and I got married, they're still good friends, and they moved out here nearby, and we meet with them about once a month. They are very, very devout Catholics. But they are born again, spirit-filled, solid believers, but they feel like God has called them to stay in the church to affect it from within. And it's the same thing. And they're all saying, we need someone who won't try to change the truth. We need a pope, not a politician. And so there are people that really want to see a move back to the Pope doing his job.
Well, yeah, he was blessing same-sex unions. He was saying that Muslims are just as legitimate of religion as Christianity. Now, look, we're free to believe whatever we want. If you're listening and you're a Muslim, I don't mean that disrespectfully. But a Pope knows better than that. Somebody who's supposed to be in the seat of Peter, and even though I don't believe in that theologically, but that's what he's supposed to be, the guardian and the protector of the gospel. And that's not what was coming across from this Pope.
Let me go through some of the things. I've done a bit of research here so that we can present this well on the show. And the general concept here from those that have been displeased is that this Pope put the church's social work above the faith and doctrinal truths that have been part of that church for centuries. And you mentioned he embraced the blessing of homosexual couples. And this caused a lot of confusion for people who have been of that faith for so long, and all of a sudden he's changing the rules. It also, he lost almost the entire diocese of the African continent. That didn't go over well at all when he took that stand.
And he spoke against borders and spoke up for illegal immigration.
I will get to that.
All
right.
Make sure you get to the fact that there's walls around the Vatican because he spoke against walls.
Well, we're gonna take,
make sure we get to that.
I want to take these things one issue at a time. Now, he offered adherence to and an alliance to groups and personalities aligned with progressivism, which I don't think is healthy. He accepted the agendas of the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, the Paris Summit, and the big pharma position on COVID-19.
Yeah. Organizations as purely evil as they're purely stupid.
Yeah. Well, he was a politician, I think. And you got to know, now he was a Jesuit, the first Jesuit priest. And
they have a reputation for being a little more radical. The Jesuits always have.
Well, radical, yeah. Will liberation theology mean anything to you?
Oh, yeah. The belief that God's always on the side of the oppressed, and they make that part of the gospel.
Yeah, and so it justifies violent revolution. Anyway, so he was very much in line with that type of thinking. He failed to speak out against radical Islam. He never took a stand against radical Islam or the terrorism. He wanted to avoid any conflict or taking a stand on things like that. And as you point out, he repeatedly denounced the border initiatives of Donald Trump, calling Trump's plans to deport illegal immigrants a disgrace. Now, never mind the fact that you're not an American, you don't live in this country, so who are you to judge or tell our president what policies to put in place? And the truth is, I think it's disgraceful what's going on right now, as you talked about some of the things going on in the courts, giving these people freedom and protection. Some of these guys that are coming across the border, they're murderers, they're thugs, they're gang members. But it's a disgrace to deport them. It was, according to the Pope. Now, here's one that really, this is a heart issue here, and especially for a lot of my Catholic friends. He radically diminished the church's fight to oppose abortion. The United Nations estimates there are around 70 million children aborted every year. And he did not take a hard stand on that. In fact, he appointed various positions in the Vatican ministries to people who support abortion as either a judicious choice for women or even an outright legal right of women. This is in the Vatican, people appointed by the Pope.
And yet he never technically came out against being pro-life, so I think that was very much in the realm of a politician.
But he did not come out against abortion, and just as every other pope before has called it wrong, immoral, a sin. He was cozy with progressive Catholics who promoted global abortion, like Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi. They claimed to be Catholic, but they were so anti-pro-life and so immoral, and I suppose I would say hypocritical to call himself Catholic, except the Pope kind of just nuzzled up with him and said, it's okay, Joe and Nancy, I'm with you. Now, perhaps his most radical departure from the traditional teachings that go all the way back to the Holy Scripture is that neither Christ nor the church is the critical element of salvation. You get that? Neither Christ nor the church is a critical element of salvation. He moved to reduce the faith to the same level as all other beliefs because all religions lead to God. Now, that's heresy.
Yeah, and I had more trouble with that than any other thing that he taught.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point then? What's the point?
And just so Jim and I are being clear, even though we don't believe in the Pope, we do believe there have been good popes. And just as it wasn't God's will for Israel to have a king, Israel still wanted a king. God allowed them to have a king, and he took great interest in their kings, and he called some kings good and some kings evil. So as far as popes go, there have been good ones. Pope Benedict, I liked the last pope that we had. So I just want to be clear for Catholics listening. We may not believe in the pope, but we're not here saying all popes are bad. We did have a problem in particular with this pope, even though it was still sad that he passed away.
Yeah. And as I've said, I have many Catholic friends who I know are believers in Jesus Christ. They are professing Catholics, and they stay in the Catholic Church. But I'm not willing to paint with a broad brush and say, if someone's a Catholic, they're not a Christian. I can't say that.
No, I would never say that either.
Yeah.
I would just say I disagree with some of their theology.
Yeah. Now, and go back to this subject here. He effectively condemned evangelism.
Okay, let's talk about the condemnation of evangelism when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel not only writes fiction, but nonfiction as well. Over the years, Bob has received wonderful comments about his book on Christian apologetics entitled, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Many have put this book in the hands of their seeking, unbelieving friends, and the book takes it from there. This is because the book has a rhetorical skeptic that argues with Bob about the harder, less frequently discussed questions. As a result, the reader is immediately aware that they are reading from an author who relates to them. The moment they find themselves questioning something they see, their very question appears in the text. Every question in this book was one that was personally put to Bob during his many years of speaking on college campuses. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College, over 50 years in the making.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
So we're talking about the Pope who recently passed away. Now, among the offenses that I found, he effectively condemned evangelism that leads to conversion, which is the great commission that Jesus...
Well, he probably doesn't see the point of evangelism or conversion.
Yeah. Now, this is kind of deep. So heavy stuff. He set aside the sources of revelation, that is, sacred scripture, the living tradition, and the ecclesial magisterium, instead of relying on the 2,000-year-old doctrinal teaching of the Catholic Church, which has led to the absence of the presence of Jesus Christ in the ecclesiastical governing of the Church and of the centrality in institutional life. This is serious stuff. Father Gerald Murray, pastor of St. Joseph's Church in New York, said Monday that he expects the College of Cardinals, which most of them have been appointed by Pope Francis, to elect a more conservative pope, describing the likely shift as a return to normalcy. Many of the people that I've talked to and read, they feel they're going to get someone that's going to go kind of back to the middle of the road, not that the pendulum won't swing all the way back over to uber conservative, but it's going to get away from this liberal tradition that's been going on for so many years. For the first time in history, less than half of the college cardinals are European. That's going to affect things. Now, one of the leading candidates right now is Peter Parolin of Italy. He's the number two man in the Vatican. And this is where it gets weird. There was a book published in 1595, The Prophecy of the Popes, and it predicted that Peter the Roman would be the last pope. Ooh! Okay.
Wouldn't they say Peter the Roman was the first pope, although Peter was born in Judea, but did found the Church of Rome.
Would be called Peter the Roman.
Well, we've never had a pope called Peter, unless you want to count the original Peter. At least I don't think we have. We've had so many, I suppose there might be one somewhere.
This time around. So there you go. That's the pope.
They usually just take on the name of an apostle. They don't usually use their own name.
We'll see. One of the apostles was Peter, so it could happen. I don't know. But I can just hear Rod Serling imagine, if you will, a world in which Donald Trump is more Christian than the Pope himself.
Well, hey, there we go. There's that Twilight Zone music. Good job, Brendan. That was quick.
We are in strange,
strange times. When you have YouTube at your fingertips, it helps.
Well, he's the best. He's the best in the business, folks. And now he has a show of his own, and I can't wait to hear that. You're going to have to keep me
up. And the Pope never had a sports show of his own, so he's doing even better than the Pope.
I don't even think he's sent to March Madness bracket. How could he?
Oh, boy. Well, there you go. There are some thoughts from me about the president and his views of Easter, the Pope and his views of the Church. And seriously, we need to pray for the next leader of the Catholic Church. There are 1.4 billion Catholics on the planet, and they're waiting for replacement. And I think in the big picture, with the sovereignty of God and all of the things going on, it would be best for the Church of Rome to have someone who adheres to the scriptures, adheres to their traditions, who isn't a politician, but a pastor. And so that's the way I'm praying for the new appointment and for my Catholic friends and for the almost 1.5 billion people that are affected by these decisions. Also, we need to pray for our president's spiritual progress. I'm encouraged by his words, whether he authored them himself or had help, which is not unusual, folks. It's not unusual for the president or other politicians to have a writer to put things in perspective, and they can take it or leave it. They'll read it if they agree, and they don't have to read it if they don't want to. And I think the statement that President Trump made concerning Easter week was profound.
Well, and you know what's really interesting? Everybody that's been around Trump has said this. He's an excellent listener. And if there was something in the doctrine of that speech that he didn't understand, he would have sat the guy down and said, explain it to me. So that's a very important thing to keep in mind.
Absolutely. And I think people like Franklin Graham could explain things and answer questions very well.
There is a man that I really admire, Franklin Graham.
I do.
His dad, Billy Graham, was an icon, but Billy Graham was at a time when our country was much more favorably disposed to Christianity.
Oh, yeah.
Franklin Graham had to endure a lot of things that his dad never had to, and he's been very courageous about it.
I agree, and I think there's great hope. It encourages me, and we need to continue praying. I have prayed for every president, and most of the time I've had to pray that they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And there were some confessions by his mouth about such things. So I'm praying for the president's spiritual progress, as well as his safety and his success.
And for his legacy to go on after he leaves, because we might get another Republican next time. That hasn't always meant a whole lot. So we pray for a good legacy.
So pray for the president. Pray for your Catholic friends. Pray that God sovereignly intervenes in the selection of the next pope, and that the people who believe in God, the people who believe in Jesus, and people who are pro-life will find some safety and protection and alliance with these individuals who are in great positions of power. We live in a very critical time, folks, and so now is the time to step up your prayers for the president, the pope, for the church, for your own pastor. Pray for your pastor. Most people, I was a pastor for 40 years, and I'm going to tell you, most people have no idea the attacks that their pastor goes through, the difficult times he or she has to lead their church, to pastor their flock. Pray for your pastor. Pray for Christian leaders. Pray for your local government, your representatives, your mayor, your city council. They all need prayer. We're encouraged in the scriptures to pray for the governmental leaders, and I believe in that. And so I'm going to leave you again with that thought. Pray, because that is really something that every believer can do, and it's the one thing we can do that we know is effective. And we could maybe see a great spiritual awakening. I have hoped for that my entire life. Maybe we will see it in my lifetime. I sure hope so.
I hope so, too, and that is my heartfelt prayer. Okay, Jim, we'll have you on again next month, which is coming right up, so we may have you on in just a week or so. Yeah, we'll see when it is. All right, everybody. All right. Thank you. This is Bob Siegel and Jim Barrier and Brendan.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.